Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Prophetic Hour, and this is your host, Prophet Lynn Templeton. Thank you for joining us again here today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be your spokesman, to be a called prophet of the living God. We thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that those who hear our voice be blessed by what they hear, and that their life is uplifted by the knowledge that is revealed. Father, I want to thank you for being my God, being my Savior. I want to thank you for all that you have done for myself as well as all of your people. It is in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer. Amen. Today's session is called Be Careful of Offending. Like so many of my sermons or teachings, they are inspired by everyday events, and occasionally, quite often, I should say, God put the teaching or the sermon in my spirit, or actually physically, supernaturally, He leads me to the sermon. This particular one was in my spirit as well as a event or events that have been happening through this week, and actually has been happening throughout a period of several years, but especially in this past week. I had a specific event to happen that just triggered the need for a discussion on this topic. This conversation will reveal information that we have all overlooked that is in our Bible. That, as you know, everything that we discuss here, it starts from the Bible and it ends with the Bible. Nothing that we teach here or no sermon that I preach is not God-inspired directly from His Word. That way we don't have to worry about getting off course like so many in the world today that are off course. But this conversation, be careful of offending. You don't know how important this is. Perhaps you will by time we finish this conversation. Let me back up and quote a verse that is our leading verse, Hosea 4:6, which says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And so this is what we're here revealing to you today, another piece of knowledge, of information that will give you a insightful enlightenment of what took place and what you need to do to make an adjustment, what took place in previous times according to our Bible. So on that note, let us get started. Now, our pilot verse we posted as Matthew 18:7, but we've got two other verses that actually are more pivotal. But Matthew 18:7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offense come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Now, we live in the Western world, and in the Western world, there are so many people now that do not respect those that God has called, those who are part of the institution called church. There are so many, they have no respect. They have no fear of God, which is frightening for them. Which is extremely frightening for them. And as a prophet, I have seen danger. I've stepped in the midst of danger. I encounter people who are hostile toward prophets, that are actually hostile toward all men of God, but especially prophets. Because when God give you the gift to prophesy, and prophesying is actually a larger concept than what most Westerners understand. Prophesying is not only events that take place, but prophesying can be for an individual. God can give you the sight to see what is going to transpire in a individual life, and He can do it in, on a multiple times. I can walk in a church, and if it's God's desire, I will know something about every person there. that God wants to address. That could be half the church. And I will know things about that individual and not have seen them before, but the Spirit will reveal these things, and so I can prophesy specifically to that individual as well as a general prophecy for casting events, but the individual as well, those who know me well know that this is part of my calling. Now, let us get back on course with this conversation. Offending. Be careful of offending. People will offend you as a prophet, as a minister, and even as an individual, just as a regular individual. People have reached a stage of evil that is off the charts. Now, that's my background on this conversation. Now we're getting ready to get into the core of this, and what I want to introduce to you at this point is the realization of something that you may have read your Bible many times and have not understood what the Bible said in this particular case. But the greatest sin, which was Adam and Eve taking up the apple, the disobedience of Adam and Eve, was not the taking of the apple, disobeying God. Surprise. But your Bible revealed that there was something even greater that they did. And let's take a look. Look at Genesis 3:12 first. It says, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now look at Romans 5:17. Look what the Bible says. It says in Romans 5:17, let me say Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Now look also at Romans 5:15, two verses prior. It says, but not as the offense. So also is the free gift, for if through the offense of one man, one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now what Romans 5:17 and 5:15 are saying, is saying that in Genesis 3:12, and I'll read it again, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gave to be with me." Why he had to put it in there that you gave this woman to me, she gave of me of the tree, and I did eat. See, Romans 5:15 and 5:17 are pointing toward Genesis 3:12, that Adam's greatest error was that he offended God by what he said and how he said what he said. He said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." So Adam's greatest error, his greatest sin might have been the disobedience by eating the apple, but his greatest error was in his offensive remark to Lord God, as the Bible says, the Lord God, which is Christ, which is Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, who was there in the garden. And he gave an offensive statement to his Lord God. By the way he said this was purely an offense, an offensive statement. That's why Romans 17 says that, 5:17. It says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one. You see that? Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So Adam offended Christ, and that's what Romans is telling you, Romans 5:15 and verse 17. He offended God, and this cut him off from what God could have done to correct the situation. You see, this situation could have been corrected. He was there to be formed into the person that God wanted him to be. And so he was being trained. So his creating him, being in him sinning or making a mistake, was, they knew the possibility of him making a mistake, but God was there to help him, to correct him, not to condemn him, you see. But when he offended God, then the whole situation changed. There it is, right there in your Bible. It's been there all the time. So I'm hoping God has opened your eyes to see that. Be careful of offending people, a man of God, or people of authority. Be careful with offending important people, in particular a man of God. These verses tell us that the offensive remark made by Adam brought on the process of suffering we now experience, which leads to death. That's why it says by one man, death came into play. When Adam offended Christ with his remark, he cut off his blessing, and those that descend from his bloodline the same. The remark offended God. When a lesser person, lesser because he lacks knowledge, enough knowledge, enough understanding, and the power to do what is needed, this would make you lesser than when a lesser person say or do something that's above their rank in life, they offend the other party. So if you say, quite honestly, if you say something that offend someone of a higher rank, this can be your boss. This can be the mayor. This can be any person in power over you. When you offend them, you cut yourself off. And as many of us know, you will make an enemy. with regular people. So you have to be careful of offending others. The person, now I want to go on and say that the person can be at equal rank. You can be at equal rank and still say things that offend others. Again, you have to be careful with offending others. We offend when we get above ourselves or beside ourselves. And let me explain. We get above ourselves because of pride. You see, and I'll give you some examples here in a minute, with some examples of our Bible on this issue. But we get beside ourselves when we make statements that are driven by our judgmental, a spirit of judgmentalism, a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of envy, and there are some other personality flaws that we ourselves are most of the time unaware of, that drive us to say things that put us beside ourselves, you see, and we'll say things that offend the other person, especially the other person in power. Offensive remarks, they offend, but not only do they offend, but they hurt. You can offend someone and hurt that person both either physically or psychologically. And you need to be aware of this when you open your mouth. And can even, listen at this, it can even kill a person. And this is illustrated in Romans 5:15. An offensive statement can kill. There are cases where people have been offended and fell dead, had heart attacks, or was so upset that it brought on a heart attack, brought on a stroke. There have been people who have been run insane by offensive acts of others. So to offend another person is a great sin. It's not something that should be overlooked or shunned. The very first era of mankind was the offensive statement that Adam made to his God. Now, I want to say in most cases, arrogance plays a key role. Pride, which is arrogance. The Bible shows us several cases where arrogance or pride plays a key role. Matthew 16:21, now I'll read it quickly. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests." Let me skip down. 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And in Matthew 16:23, Jesus says, it says, he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So that is a major example of how arrogance or pride drives people to say offensive things. You have people, because of their status in life or their racial position or who they are that offend and think nothing of it. You have people that offend for different reasons, for, you know, because they're male and you're female, or but you see, pride is always, you know, the they think they're in a superior place, and they think they can say things and do things and get away with them. But you know what? They don't, and they won't, because our Bible tells us this. Let me find a verse I wanted to share with you. Matthew 18:7. It says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." You see, Miriam, Moses' sister, she's a good example. It was not only arrogance, but jealousy that played a part in her offending her brother. And then God got involved, and we know the story, because she became leprous because of what she did. Now, I'm rushing through the remainder of this because there's a few more things I want to say here. I want to say that as a prophet, again, and other ministers out there, I must include, people that offend you, don't worry about them. I've had people that God has put the words in my mouth when they offended me, that the words that I spoke over them, immediately their lives were cursed. Now, this is the power that God gives prophets, and people don't know it because they don't read their Bible. They don't know what they're talking about half the time. When people try to tell you, I'm a prophet, and I have people to try to tell me what a prophet's supposed to do, or what he can't do, or what he should do, I don't know where these people get off. We know it's pride and arrogance that's driving their words, because they don't know the Bible. I had a young man this week to tell me that I shouldn't prophesy. But when you look at Chronicles, a prophet, Chronicles 15:8, it says, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols." Now, that's a verse. Now, here's even Webster Dictionary, which isn't biblical, knows what a prophet is. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, "A prophet is one who utters divinely inspired revelations." Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, it says, "Despise not prophesying." And that's what you got going on these days. You got a lot of people that want to tell you as a prophet not to prophesy, that you're not supposed to forecast the future. I don't forecast, I prophesy. And I will speak words over your life that will not be good. If God put the words in my mouth, I'll speak them. So be careful of offending people, especially people of God who come in power. Apostles and prophets come in a level of power that other ministers don't. And you need to know that, and you need to share that with other people, because they don't know the danger they put themselves in when they offend God's people that are in office. God's people that are in office. I ran out of time. I want to thank you for joining us this week. We'll be back next Sunday. I pray that God bless you and keep you. This is Prophet Lynn Templeton saying so long. We'll see you next week.